Lord. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. The entrance of your word gives light and understanding. We believe that you are here, Lord Jesus, to heal, to save, to deliver, to encourage. Thank you for what you have started to do since the beginning of the service. We receive your word this morning. Blessed be your name, our Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. John chapter 15, verse 13. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Give us verse 12 first. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Then verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this. Greater love. There's nothing greater than what Christ has done for us. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Verse 14. He said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. How many of us want to be his friends? Jesus' friends. He says, you will be my friend if you do whatever I command you. That means if I don't do what he commands, I'm not his friend. I don't know about you. That's a big challenge, and at the same time, a big privilege to be a friend of Jesus. To be a friend of Jesus. You know what we do with our friends now? When you say somebody is your friend, you know there are friends that are friends. When you really say somebody is my friend, that means you are free with that person. You can talk with that person. You can open up to that person. You can benefit from that person. Remember the story of a man that had a friend visiting him in the middle of the night. And he had nothing to offer that friend that just came in the middle of the night. But he also had a friend. And though it was in the middle of the night, because that person was his friend, he went knocking. And that friend was like, I'm already in bed. Who is this disturbing me? He kept knocking. You know, if he was not a friend, after knocking, you know, that kind of a place, you even go quietly. You knock. You knock gently. They have slept. But if he's your friend, that you know that, no. You keep knocking. And that's what that man did. He kept knocking until the man got up. He said, I have a friend, and you are my friend. That's the meaning of being a friend to someone. And Jesus Christ is saying, I want you to be my friend. That you'll be able to come to me any time of the day. That you'll be able to approach me. That you'll be able to access me. I don't know about you. That's a great privilege. But that great privilege comes with a responsibility. And what's that responsibility? It's if you do what I command you to do, then you'll be my friend. And regardless of what is going on around us in the world, Jesus, Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It does not change. It does not diminish in power, in resources. And as many that would link up with him and make him his friend or a friend out of Jesus, then we're going to see his hand more than ever before. I said it's a responsibility and that comes with privileges. But the privileges have far, far, far higher than the seeming responsibility of, I want to obey his commands. They say, you are my friends. He had a friend that at the Last Supper, when he was talking about going to die on the cross, nobody could ask him, not even Peter. They went to his friend that they knew. That man was called John. And you know, it's Apostle John that wrote most about the commandments that Jesus Christ spoke about out of all the apostles. They also mentioned this, Peter mentioned it, but Apostle John said so much. In fact, the whole of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, they're all about, they all came out of his interaction, his experience, and his being a friend of our Lord Jesus. When nobody else could ask him, they went to that one and said, go and ask him. He's your friend. Hallelujah. What will it be like for people to be able to approach you to say, can you pray for me? Can you help me? Can you talk to God on my behalf? It's a great privilege. And he says, it comes by, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Next verse. He said, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Give us verse 17 of that same chapter. He said, these things I command you. You know, he said, if you do whatever I command you. He said, and this is the command, that you love one another. That you love one another. That you love, that's the command. That's the command from Jesus. That you love one another. That's what makes us to become his friends, his close associates. That he will always be accessible to us when we do his command. Why is it a command? Why did he have to say, this is my command? Have you ever asked yourself, why was this hula baloo about this command? You know, if you're not careful, you think that what we preach here, when I talk like this, or when we talk about different aspects of Jesus' words, you think they are just things peculiar to us. Oh, that I just love to preach about love and relationship. Or this is just what Rock Foundation is all about. No, it's not just our doctrine here and somewhere else they have other doctrines. No, this is a command from the mouth of Jesus. This is the one that we gather to. This is the one we follow. This is the one that you said you have given your life to. This is the one that assures you of going to heaven and having eternity with God. So it's not just my words. It's not just our doctrine in church. It's not just what we try to, you know, everybody, they brand themselves. Some people brand themselves around prosperity. Some people's branding is deliverance. Some people's branding is what? You know, just prayer. And then in Rock Foundation Church, their branding is on love. No, it's not about branding. It's not about branding. It's not about just being, you know, trying to be different. No, this is about Jesus. He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. That you love one another. And I said, why is it a command? It's a command because, number one of the things you must understand about yourself that I have to understand about myself is naturally, I am selfish. Have you come to understand that about yourself? If you have not come, you will not understand why it is a command. Everybody is naturally selfish. Everybody naturally seeks his own or her own. Everybody naturally wants to do what she feels or what he feels. Naturally. And that's the way we had lived our lives before we gave it to Christ. That's the way we have conducted our lives, to do whatever was pleasing to us. Whatever was, you know, maybe sometimes cultural, traditional, family, and all of that. That's the way we have always lived our lives. And everything can be summarized in the word selfishness. You seek your own. Like I heard somebody say, in Nigeria, corruption is when you are not benefiting from it. When you are benefiting from it, you say it is favor. Eh? It is favor when you are not benefiting from it. But when the minister of finance becomes your friend, and every opportunity, everything that comes out of it, you won't say it's corruption. Why? Because we are benefiting from it. Every one of us, we have our own trinity. I, me, what's the third one? Myself. That's the trinity of humanity. That's the trinity of humanity. But, and Bible says, for God so loved the world. He said, no greater love. Nothing is greater than what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. That he gave, he sent his son. So we must understand that. As a husband, you must understand that naturally, you are selfish. As a wife, you must know you are selfish. You want to seek your own. We understand ourselves. We know our intention. But we know other people's faults and weaknesses. That's who we are naturally without Christ. Paul said, I came to realize that there's nothing good in me. You know, my husband was saying something like that along these lines recently. In the last decade or more, we've had some preachings, some messages that talk about, oh, you are good. You are the best. You are perfect. What else? Nothing is wrong with you. Everything is wrong with other people. So when things are not working, you don't look inwards. You don't check yourself. The problem is with them. There's no problem with me. But the truth about every one of us naturally is, Father, we are selfish. We look for our own. We seek our own. But there's nothing wrong in seeking your own. But when you seek your own and you don't bother about others, that's where it's wrong. When you seek your own above every other person, that's where it's wrong. You should take care of yourself. You should mind yourself and manage your life. But when it's just everything about yourself, and other people can go to blazes, then this is wrong and totally wrong. Praise God. So we have this command to come against the selfish nature that we inherited from heaven, perpetrated by our parents and forefathers, and tradition and culture and environment. We got it from Adam, then our circumstances as Nigerians, as Africans, help us to develop it very well. So you must understand that you are not all that good. I'm not all that good. Hello. I'm not as good as I think I am without the love of God, without this love command. I'm not as, you know. That's it. We must understand that. When you have that at the back of your head, it will help you to fall in line fast. But when you already have this idea that, oh, I'm good, my intentions are good, my heart is good, what else? I don't have any problem. It's only my husband. It's only my wife. It's only my friends. They are the ones who have issues. I don't have issues. I know me. You don't know yourself. Each and every one of us, we have the propensity. We have the capacity to do evil without God, without him in our lives. And so we need this commandment to guide us in life, to guide us in this new life that we have come to, in this new relationship that we have with God. Then secondly, why is it a command? The new life in Christ Jesus is of love. The new life in Christ Jesus, the new nature. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 1. The new nature that we have taken. He said, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. If you say you are a child of God, that means you've given your life to Christ. You have accepted the love of God for you. You have a nature of God. And he says, therefore, because you are dear children. The way of the New Testament, the covenants we have with Jesus, is based on love and nothing but love. That's why that same Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, he said this. He says, when you say you are in love, 1 John chapter 2, let me look for the verse. Let's take a look at verse 12. No. Let me look for the verse. 1 John chapter 2. All right. Look at verse 8. He says, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. The nature, the new life that we have in Christ is a life of love. You can't say, I'm in relationship with Jesus. I have come into the light and you are not walking in love. No. That's the order of the day. That's who our Father is. And that's what he wants us to be. So, Christianity, the true Christianity, following Christ, demands you to walk in love according to the nature, according to the light that you have received. It demands you. So I don't have a choice. I don't have any reason. As long as I claim to be in the light, I'm a child of God, the only thing I can do is to walk in love. To see myself as a child of God. Yoruba will say that. We can't say we are children of God. We have the nature of God. We have the life of God in us. And we do otherwise. No. No. It cannot. They don't go together. Then, still on that same chapter, look at the next verse. He says, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The number three thing, third thing I have about this command is that you can only enjoy the life of God by obeying the commandments. Because when you are in the light, it's the opposite of everything that we can see here. When I love my brother, I'm in the light. I walk in the light. And when we're talking about light, you're talking about the life of God. You're exposed to the life of God. I know where I'm going, and I'm not blinded. The only way for you to really, really enjoy, you know, Bible talks about faith works by love. Faith does what? Works by love. There's no way you can believe God, trust God, whether for your health or your finance or for your children, without love. So the only way for you to access God and enjoy God, the peace of God, the joy, his provision, his protection, is through love. God told them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you will keep these commandments, then I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will do that. Then from verse 15 of that same chapter, if you don't, then curses will come. How many of us, we want to continually see the blessing of God in our lives? Praise God. That's the way to ensure it. That we keep the commandments. We train ourselves. Praise God. Let me help you. When we talk about love, when I talk like this, doesn't mean that, you know, we are not doing it at all. Or we are bad. That's why I come with love. No. We need to remind ourselves and go back to the drawing board every now and then. Every now and then. Let me help you. When it comes to the issue of love, it's like the issue of faith. Are you listening? Sometimes you feel that, oh, I don't have so much faith. When you look at some people, say, ah, they have big faith. The same way about the issue of love. Sometimes you look at yourself and say, I'm not that loving. I wish I can, like some husband who say, I wish I can be like Reverend. The way he's so loving to his wife. I'm not sure some ladies want to be like me. But I'm sure a lot of men want to be like Reverend. He's so loving. He does this, he sacrifices that. Fine. Just like faith, do you know that your love can grow and it can keep growing? Hello? Hello? Just like faith, your love can grow. And as a matter of fact, it should grow. Your love should keep growing. The way you walk in love and conduct yourself in love should keep growing. It should be a matter of getting better and better and better. Praise God. I said, your love can grow. When someone, let me give a physical example. When someone does not use his muscles, what happens to them? They become flabby. With time, they can become useless. They don't function very well. But if you want your muscles to grow and to you want to be a fit person, what do you do? Huh? Say it now. You exercise. You exercise. And how do you exercise? You determine and you put yourself together and you do what you need to do. Sometimes you get a coach who will tell you, okay, I want to, like my husband was saying, that I need to do specific exercises for some. You probably get a coach, oh, I need to develop my, for men, they usually want to develop what? The chest and the arms. You get a coach that will train you to do that specifically. Or you can, if you know what to do, you can just do it yourself. The same way, that same way we're supposed to exercise love. That is, practice loving where you are. There's no need desiring, oh, I wish I can love like so and so. I wish I. Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. It's like a deposit. The same way faith was put in your heart as a deposit. The love of God who was put in you as a deposit. Let me say this. You know, after I gave my life to Christ, before I started actually hearing about walking in love, I just knew right from when I got saved, I just knew that keeping malice, I was used to that growing up. When you fight in the neighborhood, what happens? For weeks, nobody would, giving was not part of my life. But I just knew that that was not the way of Christianity. That I couldn't have disagreement with someone and then I just called the person off. Even before I started hearing about. That's to say that the love of God comes as a deposit in your heart. And the more you exercise it, the more it grows. The more it expounds. The more it gets better. That is to say, if you keep the deposit, like that man that was given one talent. He said, I know my master. He's hard. He sows where, he reaps where he does not sow. And he kept that one talent. He didn't do anything with it. But the other, the one that had two, went out and profited and got two more. The one that, the same way, if you just keep the love the way it is, I've received the love of God, I'm not doing any, it's not going to grow. It will not benefit anybody and it will not benefit you as a person. But you can grow. Let me tell your neighbor, you can grow in love. Look at Philippians chapter 1 verse 9. This is what Paul spent time praying for the Philippian church. And it's so important that you pray this for yourself. He said, this I pray, that your love may do what? Abound. Still more and more. That your love may abound. And one translation says that your love will flourish. I think it's TPT that says that your love may grow. Kindness, and when we're talking about this, that kindness will grow. Patience will grow. Seeking the good of fellow brothers and sisters will grow. Seeking the best of your wife, of your husband, children will grow. That's where God wants us to be. Not stagnant, not just holding to this and say, oh, it's just there. You are not allowing it to. From January to this moment, can somebody around you, can you even assess yourself and look at yourself? I have grown in love. I have grown. When we talk about the issue of love, I know that I'm not where I was last year. I'm not where I was 2 years ago. I have grown in kindness. I have grown in compassion to other people. I have grown in patience. Can you say that about yourself? Can people that are close to you say that about you? That, this person has gotten better. That's because you are exercising and you keep exercising yourself when it comes to the issue of love. You are beating your own record. You are aspiring to become a better person in love, in working in love, in kindness, in patience, in compassion, in giving, in considering other people, in honoring other people, in respecting other people, in forgiving other people, in forbearing other people. These are what love is all about. He says that your love may abound to increase, to increase, to increase, to increase. If the love of God does not increase, do you think we will not have been wiped out as human beings? The Bible says his mercies are new every year. Every morning, his mercies are new. That means God is looking for ways and means to help you as a person, to better your life as a person. That's why his mercies are new, his love are new. They are new every morning. And so as his children who want to practice, who want to be like the Father, maybe you want to start monthly. That your love will be new every month. Or new every quarter. Or new every week. But not stagnant in any way. Shebi, I've been doing something for you. No, you keep doing it. You keep doing it. And keep loving. and keep beating your own records. Praise God. Let's see 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the Thessalonian church is our model in Rock Foundation Church. It's our model. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. It says, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Give us verse 9 to give it a better sense. He says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. I mean, that's some level of achievement for that Thessalonian church. This was Apostle Paul that wrote 1 Corinthians 13, talking about love and love. And he's saying to a particular church that I don't need to be preaching it to you. It's not something that you are not aware of. I wish God would say that about us in Rock Foundation Church. I wish God would be able to say, I know you. I know you. I don't need to put so much pressure on you. I know that you know. He says, I don't need to write to you. For you yourself, you are taught by God to love one another. Yesterday, you know, sometimes when you have to preach about something again and again, you feel, I said, God, I can't, it's a privilege to talk about this again and again. Because this is what you want. Because this is the heart of God. He said, I don't need, you yourself, you are taught by God to love one another. But it didn't stop there. That's why we have verse 10. And indeed you do so. That is, you are practicing this toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. That is, beyond the immediate church, beyond your family, beyond your relatives, beyond your friends, this becomes a mark, a distinguishing mark upon your life, that you are indeed practicing love towards everybody in Abeokuta, everybody in Idiaba, everybody in your place of work. Talking about the old city. But he said, but I urge you the more. I want to encourage you the more. I want to ask you to do more, that you increase more and more. More and more, more and more. So we are not stopping. We're not going to be stagnant. We're going to increase more and abound more in every way, in every form, in the name of Jesus. Look at chapter 3, verse 12 of the same chapter of Thessalonians. He said that you walk, no. 3:12. You are giving us 4:12. It says, and may the Lord, that's a prayer, and I pray this for you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Can you imagine yourself being like this? Can you aspire that, Lord, in this love work, I want to be like this. I desire to increase. I desire to be a blessing. I desire that what will characterize my life is that I'm a man of love. I'm a woman of love in my home. That my husband will see me as a loving woman. That my wife will see me increasing and getting better when it comes to the issue of love. I end up with this. You know, at the beginning I was thinking, which way should I go? I was going to talk about something. I mean, something came to me during service and I was thinking, should I abandon this and take that? But let me round this up. One primary way of showing love this day and age in our homes is to deny ourselves and focus on people in our family. Hello? primary way, practical way, for those of us in this service, married, having children, as a husband, to deny yourself of your privileges, of your rights, as a husband, as a father, and to say, I want my wife, I want my children, I want them first, I'm putting them first. Whatever is left, I can have, but I'm going to put my wife first. That's a practical way of loving this time around. Not to see that, oh, I am just slaving. Yes, you are slaving. Slaving in love. Laying down yourself in love. And making sacrifice so that your wife and your children, when you are doing that, you are actually fulfilling the command. And you are becoming more and more a friend of Jesus that you can trust and commit so much into. When men this time will say, hey, I'm loving, and you are not making sacrifice for your wife and for your children, that's not love. So look at the budgets at the end of the month and say, what do you need to run this home? What do they need as children? And to put that first, that's practical way of being kind in your family. And for you as a wife, to support your husband, to manage well, that's kindness. I mean, that's love. Not about, just give me. I need 100,000. And you spend 100,000 anyhow. That's not love. That's selfishness. Love will make you to go extra mile to know how to spread that 100,000 such that there will be left over. That's love. Love will make you get up in the morning and go to the markets rather than some shops in town. You know, my mother was showing me the things that we bought for the missionaries. I went to the market myself with some people yesterday morning. I left the gym. Business service was going on here. And there's a reason why I did that. I know that from experience, there are some places where I can get these things at cheaper rates. So I took two of our ladies along. I said, come and see. And one of them said to me, this sachet of milk is 1,800 naira. I still bought it last week. And we got it for less than 1,300. Was it convenient for me? No. But that's love. And that's what some of you have to do as women. When you sit down in front of your house to buy fish, to buy pepper, what else do you buy? It's at your comfort because you don't want to move yourself. That's not love. Love will make you want to stretch that money to go as far as possible. Hallelujah. I can't trouble myself. That's not love. Because the money is not coming from you. Even if the money is not coming from you, it's coming from someone who labors 8 hours, 10 hours to get that money. So if you have to spend that money, whether you are hardening to it or not, you must spend wisely. You must apply wisdom. You must stretch yourself and make sacrifices as a woman. That's practical love in your home. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. And as much as possible, men, don't think that, hey, I'm just laboring. That's what you were made for. Yeah. That's why you are the man. That's why you are the husband in the house. Hallelujah. It's a privileged position of responsibility. And God is going to reward you. God is going to help you. So don't shift the responsibility. Don't start to look for, shame. And when you do it with joy. You know, Bible says when you give, God loves cheerful giver. Including when you are putting that money in your house. Are you surprised? Bible says God loves cheerful giver. It didn't say when you are giving your offering in church. Be cheerful. Even when you are giving money for the home, be cheerful about it. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And the next verse says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you as a man. So don't give it grudgingly. They have come again. It's the end of the month. Blah, 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 blah. You are not giving it cheerfully. Write that check with joy. Transfer that money with what? With joy, with some cheerfulness. Knowing that, isn't it a wonderful feeling to know that some people depend on you for their existence? Hello? It's a wonderful. Yes, money is living, but it's living to sustain your wife, sustain your children, and help them in life. God has committed them into your hand as a man. So do it with joy. And tell your own head, the Father God, and tell God, God, help me. God, let your grace abound. And he will let it abound. Praise God. And women, collect it cheerfully too. Hello. I said, collect it. Your first response should not be, Koto. Hello. Your first response should not be, but I asked for 50, you are giving me 30. That shouldn't be your first response. Your first response should be, thank you. You know, I came to realize on this side of the world, you know, a sister was telling me, the sister-in-law abroad was messing up. So she was giving counsel to the brother that, don't buy things in the house. Just don't do this. The brother said, no, it's not Nigeria. That you can do whatever you like. I have to be able to prove myself that I have been responsible and I've been taking care of my bills in case anything happens. I came to realize that in Nigeria, when they are not responsible, there's no court you can take them to. Hello. I'm warning you now. From experience, I know that even in women departments, ministry, they will beg you and beg your husband. Nobody can enforce anything. If the guy says, I don't. So you better be wise and manage your home well. If he doesn't do it, what will you happen? What will you do? Lock his shirt. And that will lead to something else. So it's only God that can help us. Hello, and wisdom and common sense. So when he pulls down you have asked for how much? 50. And he pulls down how much? 30. First of all, praise him. Thank him. Hello. Thank you for what this that you have done. God bless you. Then maybe 2 days after, honey, I'm still expecting the balance. So, which balance? The balance of what we agreed that you'll be putting down. Don't do it like kilo man she, you know. That's going to cause trouble. Be patient. That's exercising love. The Bible says love is patient and kind. It does not take account of evil. Don't start to say, that's what you did in January. That's what you did in April. And while you are saying that, do you think he's going to be smiling at you? And saying, God bless you. Holy Ghost has come. No. You will be inciting his flesh to react. The Bible says we should provoke one another to love. Lift up your hands and ask God, say, Father, help me. He said, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. Pray that for yourself this morning. Say, Father, help me in my home. Help me as a person, wherever I find myself, to increase, to abound that my life, what will be coming out of my life more and more will be love. Loving words, loving actions, loving kindness to everyone around me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for helping me.
Thank you, Lord. I appreciate you. These programs, we get down to the basic fundamental that will help us in our homes. We can be doing convention and be clearing ourselves at home. But if we just do the practical things, it will reflect in our lives. Let's clap our hands for Jesus one more time. One more area that we need to show love is at workplace. Nigerians are fascinated with positions. And when they don't get it, they cut others down. A child of God who works in love must never work for the downfall of anybody at work. You are not reflecting the divine nature. When you just want things for yourself and what you don't get, others will not get it. If you vie with somebody for HOD and you lost and the person won, you must work for the betterment of that person. A very good Christian who is a child of God, when you are running in a bank or in a place, in an office, and they didn't pick you and they picked the other person, you must not go and get mad and look for how to make him fall. You should even go and volunteer yourself for his advancement. That's what we call a Christian. You know, in this town, I help pastors. One pastor came to our side over here, got a place. I'll go and give him money. Literally, as if he's competing with me, right? That's what we need to do. You see, Christianity is not what you are seeing today among pastors themselves. You see, pastors are literally just asking you for money all the time. They are not walking in love. We don't measure pastors well because we have just been confused in this country. You measure somebody as a Christian by his love, by seeking your betterment. When he's seeking his own betterment, that's not Christian life. Are you hearing me? So, you should make up your mind that at home, we just add about home now, but even at work, because you spend 8 hours at work, you should not be going to work with bitterness and malice and wishing that that person will fall dead so you can replace him. And who say you have to be a leader to work well? Praise the Lord. So, I want to plead with you, work in love. I heard of a man that had interview with people to get a position. And those who competed against him, when he was picked for that position, you know what he did? He walked up to the person that lost and he said, "Hey, I want us to work together." Rather, Nigeria, we go to court and appeal court and Supreme Court until we, even when we lose the Supreme Court, you are bad. Praise the Lord. So I want to plead with you. Love in Nigeria is too low because everybody's looking for what they're going to get. But start taking initiative in love. You know, there are just 2 days ago, I said, "Lord, we need more people that can love." Honestly, some of us are carrying too much burdens. I said, "Lord, you know, this one, I'll take care of. Can I get more people to love, to just take care of people?" Everybody just ask, "Thank you, God bless you for me. God bless you for me. Who will do all this? Who will carry all this? Who will do all this?" There are children, there are people, there are so many. God help us in Jesus' name. Love. Love. That's 2 places. Workplace and home. Today, if you leave, my daughter left her workplace. One of the managers, a grown-up man, was weeping. The man was crying. He said, "Oh, you are leaving." After she left, they kept on employing her to work for her almost a year. Why? She was seeking everybody's good. She grew up in our house. She was telling her friends that grew up together like us. He said, "I don't know what happened to us. We are just different around here." Nobody in our house is seeking his own. Nobody in our house. Nobody is looking for his own corner. Nobody. Everybody is for each other. Oh, they never, I never get them and say, "Ah, I am a yo, I take care of me, I'm a female." Rather, I will say, I'm an everlasting father. I'll be there for you. Or I'm there for you. That's what they hear every day. Are you hearing me? So let's start doing that. It's not love, but it's not feeling. By the way, it's not feeling, boys. It's not feeling. I love you this morning. So that I don't feel to with my life at all. I feel like get lost. But you know what? Love is sacrifice. I do what I need to do. Praise God. When I have 50,000 and they need 40,000 in the house, they look clear for me. 10,000. I look at them. My mind will say, first of all, say, we are winning. My mind will say that. My feeling will say, we're not fair and call. Then finally, I will say, we go here, keep quiet. We are about 45. Why do I do that? God is watching. I learned one song when I was in primary school in Ivory Coast, my father's church. Mr. Fatoki, he came to the front for Sunday school. He said, Sora fun ohun to fi inu re so. Sora fun ohun to fi oju re ri. Baba kan be loke to nboju wole. So I know somebody's up there. I'm seeking your best every day. I'm not using you as a platform to become a big minister. I'm not looking for a name in town. I'm not doing worldwide ministry. I'm not interested. I just want you to be better. Clap your hands for Jesus. Are you hearing me? I want you to make it. I want you to live well. When you are down, it makes me feel down. That's love. I'm graduating, like I'm saying. I'm getting better. I'm better at it. I see once in a while, I do one-on-one. I just get mad sometimes. Are you hearing me? But let's do it more. Amen. Tell somebody beside you, I will walk in love. Just say it with your mouth. I will walk in love. I'll do my part. Do you know, this morning, today's my brother's birthday. My younger brother. He's my senior brother in the Lord. He got saved before us. He was the first one to get saved in our family. I'm senior to him. He's next to me. So I just discovered that today was his birthday. He's a pastor too. And I just took my phone and I called him around 6 something in the morning, around 7 when I was in church. I said, hey, Baba, happy birthday. Well, no, my brother, you know, kind of a thing. You know, boy, yeah. He said, for a pastor to call you on Sunday morning for your birthday, that's a sacrifice. Hallelujah. One time, one of my friends lost money. Big time in investment. It was my birthday in church. I said, I'm coming to come and see you. I finished birthday in church, entered into James, took a cab to Lagos, spent night with him, encouraging and comforting and strengthening him. That's what we should be for one another. Pastor, I can't do that. I don't have money. Money will come when you walk in love. Tell us that money will come. Tell him, dollars will come too. Pounds sterling will come too. Come and clap your hands for Jesus. Prof, I want us to pray today about, you see, we're going to pray about love. Lord, our family needs today. Let's pray. Family need. We're going to agree together. You're going to share with us now about agreement. But can we agree today around family needs and job needs? Praise the Lord. Can we do that today? Prof, please come. We're going to agree on that. So our agreement today is on family needs, you know, and job needs like that. Let's agree.
Praise the Lord. Matthew 18:19. He says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Praise the Lord. This is the basis for the prayer of agreement that we will pray concerning issues of our needs in our families, as Pastor has said. But I just want to share something briefly. And sincerely, sir, I was having struggles with what I was going to say until now that I was convinced that I am sure it's the Holy Spirit. Because it's a bit different from the things that we should be talking about when we are talking about prayer of agreement. But I'm convinced that God wants us to hear this. We have always encouraged ourselves to trust God for this, and we have seen answers. This scripture depicts that if you do it the way God has said it, we will get the outcome. But there are times that we will pray prayer of agreement and we won't get it. We all agree that that will not have been the fault of God. It will have been because something is wrong with us. And one of the things that could make us not enjoy the outcome of prayer of agreement, there are several of them. In the first service, we shared about unbelief. That if you are in unbelief, after agreeing, you won't get anything. But I had this strong nudging to mention something else in the second service. And it is what is in Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. I kept struggling with it that, why would you be bringing this to? But this is what it says. I'm reading the New Living Translation. New Living Translation, please, just for exception. It says, you cry out, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young. But you have been unfaithful to her. Though she remained faithful, she remains a faithful partner, the wife of your married vows. Verse 15. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and in spirit, you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So, guard your heart and remain loyal to the wife of your youth. Hallelujah. He says, guard your heart and be faithful. Another Bible translation says, don't be faithless with your wife. You see, one of the reasons why prayer of agreement will not work, if there is unfaithfulness in your marriage. Now, let's be sincere. The Bible is talking about husband, but I'm sure common sense will tell us that the same is applicable to the wife. For both parties in the marriage, if anybody is not doing the right thing, it will work against the efficacy of prayer of agreement. Because God is concerned. And somebody says, that is Old Testament. Okay, let's go to New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 7. And no, the background to all this is love. Being selfless, not minding your own sake first. It says, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the vicar vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Hallelujah. And like I said, it is husband that is being called out here, but I'm sure the wife also knows that she is also being called alongside. What the Bible is saying is this: if there are issues in our marriages, it will block the efficiency of the prayer of agreement. And the onus is ours to resolve it. Indeed, what we have been encouraged to do this morning is the answer. Look beyond yourself. Yeah, she doesn't deserve it, but give it to her because she's a joint heir with you. Hallelujah. He has not been behaving well, but because you have been called to be a partner and God is a witness to your vow to be a helper, do your part. And for the sake of your sacrifice, your own prayer will be answered and God will have mercy on the household. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please, let us all close our eyes. Let's just bow our heads. And if there's anyone here that, yeah, this has ministered to you in respect of your marriage, it doesn't take so long. Just tell God, Lord, I come to agree this is this. And Lord, I ask you to just forgive me for this. And reconcile things. And make a commitment to do the right thing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity. And we come into your presence on a clean slate. Because your word says, if we come before you seeking forgiveness, that you are fair and just to forgive us. We receive forgiveness, we receive a reconstitution, and we receive the liberty that comes with freedom of thanksgiving and forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please, if you are here now, this is just explanatory note to prayer of agreement. And I believe that with what we've just done now, there is no hindrance to anyone coming to take full advantage. So let's come up in respect of prayer of agreement, like Reverend said, things concerning our families. Let's come for agreement. If there's anything you want us to agree with you about, please take a step of faith and come forward. Please come forward. Your coming is a step of faith. You say if you agree about anything they ask, anything they ask. Are there issues in your family, marriage, sustenance, anything relating to your household, your finances, your relationships, issues of love in your life? Thank you, our Father. Partners, please, let's come forward and agree with them. Partners, please, let's come forward. Partners, please. Partners, please.
Yes, Lord. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. Holy, Lord. And forever you are God. So thank you. Just bless your name, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. Holy, Lord. And forever you alone. Hallelujah. Choir. Let's come. Come on, wait. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.